Good morning. When I was asked to do the Bible study this week, it was just earlier this week. I was fairly busy this week, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to study. So I decided to do. So we'll do a Bible study on a topic that I have questions about, so that hopefully get lots of discussion and I'll come away with this with a deeper understanding of the topic. Before we get into the main part of the Bible study, what I want to do is I want to look at a certain way of categorizing different doctrines. There's three different categories. One would be primary doctrines, secondary doctrines, and tertiary doctrines. I know when I looked up how different people would categorize them, there's different people believe a little bit different definition for each category. The way I kind of see it is primary doctrine would be, these are essential doctrines. These are doctrines that separate Christians from non-Christians. So it'd be, basically, if you believe otherwise, that'd make you a heretic. These are examples would be like the nature of Christ, that he's eternal with no beginning and no end. And he is not a created being, but he is a deity. So if you do not believe that, I think this is primary doctrine. It's essential that you understand that. Another basic understanding of the Trinity, that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are equal. They are separate persons, but one God. Another example would be salvation is by grace through faith. We cannot earn our salvation. And certain examples of groups that would be outside of, that would believe otherwise, be like Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, or Mormons. Those are probably the most obvious examples of groups that wouldn't believe in these primary doctrines. For secondary doctrines, kind of the way I see it is these are doctrines that would separate denominations, that these are important enough that there's differences, that there's different denominations, but they would still be Christian. So examples would be something like baptism. Lutherans, I think, believe that, I think, quote, that baptism is one of the miraculous means of grace through which God creates and or strengthens the gift of faith in a person's heart. This is the reason why they believe in infant baptism. So I think that's, some people might place that in a primary doctrine, but I think that's fairly important. But I don't think, if someone's a Lutheran, I don't think that that automatically makes them a heretic. Same with Calvinism versus Arminianism, I think, is an example where usually churches, they are, most Calvinists, they like to fellowship with other Calvinists and Arminians as well, vice versa. I think it's possible for Calvinists and Arminians to be in the same congregation, but it's not that, it doesn't happen that often. For the most part, when you go to a church, you know one church is predominantly Calvinist, whereas other churches are Arminians. But I think there's still Christians on either side of the topic. So I think that would be another example of secondary doctrine. Then we get to tertiary doctrines. I think these are doctrines where believers can be in the same church, in the same congregation, and believe different, have different opinions. Some examples would be teaching on what kind of music we should listen to, what a Sunday morning service should look like. Another one, maybe wine versus grape juice for communion, things like that. I think that would be tertiary doctrines. So this morning, when I was asked to do a Bible study to fill in for Abe, I thought I would do a topic I think would fall in under a tertiary doctrine, something that it's fine if we have disagreements on. What I would look at is the question of, is Jesus a friend of sinners? So someone start. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? Just right off the bat. What comes to mind? Ivan?
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That sounds like a friend.
Thank you. Anyone else?
He's not willing that any should perish.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hi, Abra.
I immediately had to think of the woman at the well and the adulterous woman. Mm-hmm. He loves all people.
Thank you. Clarence?
I don't know if I'm quoting the scripture correctly, but I think Jesus said someplace that I came not to save the righteous, but the sinners, something to that effect. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ron? Or go ahead.
I think you have to sort of define what you mean by friend. Because, like, you can be friends with, like, a fellow believer, and that's a whole other level of friendship than you might have a friendship with someone who believes differently than you, because you don't go to them for counsel, whereas you might, as you would with a brother in a church. So there's varying levels of friendship.
Thank you. I think that's true. I think we also need to define the word sinner, depending on how we topic. Anyway, go ahead, Ron.
Not trying to upset the apple cart here, but I would put forth the thing that Jesus is not a friend of sinners from the argument that he called his followers his friends. And if you take the definition of friend, it's one with a mutual relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe, or at least I had no relationship with Christ when I was a sinner. But I can be corrected on this. I'm just giving you my honest.
Yeah.
But Jesus, when he reclined with sinners, fellowshiped with sinners, he was something to them. But I guess maybe I'm being technical on terminology. I don't know. I believe he was their ransom, their way out. But was he their friend until they received the relationship? I'm not sure. But I'm just one here in many, so you correct me if I'm wrong.
Thank you. If you would have asked me this a week ago, I would have pretty strongly said I don't think he was a friend of sinners. But today, I think I'm kind of on the fence. I think it depends on how you define the word sinner and how you define the word friend. There's lots of different ways you can look at it, and I think there's quite a bit to look at. I think I'll take this time to define the word sinner. I think if the word sinner means anyone who has ever committed an act of sin, then I can easily conclude that Jesus is in fact a friend of sinners. But I do not, however, believe that that is how the word sinner is usually used in Scripture. It's kind of the way I see the word sinner. I think it's the way we look at, we see in Scripture, the word sinner is usually a group of people. There's two groups of people. One is they're sinners, that they are people that are on their way to hell. They are not saved. And then there are those that are saved, they're saints. They are, that's often how they're categorized. And some would might conclude, or you'd ask the question of, do Christians sin? And so I think that yes, Christians do sin, but I don't think that automatically places into the category of a sinner necessarily. Especially the way that we see it in Scripture, that often when you see the word sinner, that automatically you can conclude in your mind that those are not saved. They don't have a relationship with Christ. One example is in 1 Peter 4:8, says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" So there, clearly, there's two categories. There's the righteous, and there's the ungodly and sinners. So you can see that when Peter was writing, he knew that there was a difference between the two. And then also in Luke chapter 6, verse 32 to 34, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." So I think there's a bit of a difference there. When he's talking to his disciples, he's saying that he's referring to sinners as a different group of people, different than what the disciples were. And then also in Romans 5, verse 7-8 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I think there we see that he's saying while we were yet sinners, implying that we're not them anymore. We're not in that category anymore. We are now, we were clean. We have been washed by the blood of Christ. We're not sinners in that way anymore. Do you have any thoughts on that? Would you agree or disagree with that definition?
Put it very well. I think when I think of a friend, it speaks of relationship and intimacy. And now, if you're talking about whether God loves sinners, maybe that's that would be a whole different question to me. And I would say yes. If God can, God says he's angry with the wicked every day, but he also, you know, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and loved him. Mm-hmm. And so God can be angry with the sinner and love him at the same time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Wayne?
I was wondering if there's a difference. If Jesus is a friend of sinners, I think Jesus can be a friend of sinners without, but sinners aren't necessarily a friend with they aren't Jesus' friends. There is no relationship there, it seems to me. But.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ivan?
I appreciate that you said that there's different kinds of doctrines. I don't think this is a salvation doctrine, but I was thinking on Matthew here, he reads, Jesus says, "But to whom shall I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplace calling to their playmates? We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came eating and drinking, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Then he makes a statement that says, "Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." If Jesus is a friend of sinners or not, it's justified when like salvation really comes when we believe on him.
Thank you. I was going to look at that verse. That was Matthew 11. Let's see here. I think what's interesting with that verse, many people, when they say that this verse shows that he is a friend of sinners, I think what you have to look at is that he says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, so now he's talking about what others say of Christ, and they say, "Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." I think it's interesting if we say that that is evidence that he is a friend of sinners, then we also have to say that that's evidence that he is gluttonous and a winebibber, right? Because it's under the same people saying it, same like accusation, I think. But I think there's a difference because the reason why they're saying he's a friend of publicans and sinners is because they see him hanging out with them. And I think that's definitely true. I think he was a friend to them. But I think we have to take this with a grain of salt in a sense because this is an accusation of what other people say. Does anyone have any thoughts? Mike?
I agree with you on that it was an accusation. However, an accusation is sometimes based on someone's, on what it appears to be like.
Yeah.
And I tend to think that it was a fairly accurate accusation about the friend of sinners, mm-hmm. as you mentioned. I'm not sure where they ever picked up the glutton and the winebibber part, because we don't see any part of that in Jesus. But the other thing I certainly think was a fairly accurate accusation.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Well, I think my point with this verse is I don't think the verse is necessarily, the point of the verse is not to show whether he's a friend of sinners or not, or whether he's a glutton or not, but rather to show the perspective of those that are accusing him. they're looking for something to accuse him of, and so they accuse him of being a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of sinners. And I think for them, their view would have been that they are, the Pharisees are righteous, they're not sinners, and all these other people, they're sinners, and then Jesus is with them, and that's a bad thing. And so I think in that way, I think that's kind of the purpose of the verse, to show that they're in the wrong for making that accusation in that way. Go ahead, Ron.
I appreciate this discussion. I think there's a question that I would have is in Matthew here it says, and Jesus reclined at the table with in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with him, with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And I think it has a lot to do with what we perceive as friendship. I mean, what Ivan brought up there, relating with people, you know, drawing people in that aren't where you are, bringing them into your social group, I guess by definition that if they are really reaching out for a relationship, they will automatically say, oh, that this is now my friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've made an effort to draw them in. Then if you go in on the other side and you say, well, friendship with Christ is him pouring into you and you pouring into him, and then I think that's where this conversation gets kind of, it depends which one you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
And but I guess so what kind of friendship are we actually I guess I'm curious, when you say friend, what are you actually, when I heard it the first time I was like, well, but what kind of a friend are we describing here?
Yeah.
And is there two kinds of relationships? Or what is Jesus to one if he's not to the other or whatever?
I think there's definitely a difference. I think after doing the study, kind of what I concluded was that Jesus was certainly, he was being a friend to sinners, certainly. That he loved them enough to come to this earth to die for them. And he was certainly being a friend to them, but that they were not necessarily receiving that. They weren't necessarily being a friend in return. Go ahead, Tim.
In when those accusations were put to Jesus there, it doesn't seem like he goes out of his way to make sure everybody understands him correctly or that they defined him correctly. When God has done his work in your heart and people are attracted to that, to the light that they see,
mm-hmm.
when they see Christ in you, there's always going to be those that want to believe that they've never been sinners, that they forget what they've been saved from, and you will run the risk of being defined and classified with those that you reach out to,
mm-hmm.
and that you show Christ's light to, and we need not be afraid of that. I mean, Christ wasn't afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't so primarily concerned that they understood that what kind of a friend he was to them. He still reached out to them.
Thank you. I think that's true. I think that's very similar to the Christian's role, whether how we should be friends with the sinners. I think there's a difference. I don't think we should be like a verse that comes to mind right now. I think it's in 1 Peter, and it talks about that we don't what is it? I'll actually quickly go there. Something like that they were surprised that we did not run with them. Okay, something like that. Do you know what verse I'm referring to? Let's see here. In 1 Peter 4, I'll start in verse 3, he says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when you walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." I think there it's clear that as Christians, we don't run with sinners. We don't do the same things they do. We don't partake of their sin. In that way, they might perceive that we're not friends of sinners. We're not friends in that way that we partake of all things they partake of. But I think we can be friends in the sense that we love them and we can reach out to them the way that Jesus did. I think that's also very much how Jesus was. He didn't partake in the sins of those that he was fellowshipping with or that he was reaching out to. But the Pharisees would have accused him of that. They saw that he was with them and he would accuse them of basically partaking in their sins, I think. So I think that's kind of the difference. Anyone else have any thoughts? Go ahead.
I'm just processing this through my mind right now. So, but is there any validity to the thought that when Jesus was on earth, then he acted out that friendship maybe, but now that he's went back to the Father, is it now our job to fulfill that role? Because like Jesus isn't really here in a physical sense to be a sinner to someone who mm-hmm. is not living in a spiritual world where. Is it our job now to present that, develop that relationship, to present Jesus to them? And now Jesus' relationship to sinners is one of a Savior, of a Savior relationship. And then us as followers of Jesus mm-hmm. present the relationship.
Yeah, I think and so. Then,
and then obviously the goal, I think this came up in a message recently, is as when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the idea is to move beyond a savior-sinner relationship and to one of a friendship then, mm-hmm. where we develop that relationship back and forth.
Yeah. I think the way I see it, that now we are the body of Christ, and in the same way that we are continuing the same work that Jesus did, or continuing it, he's working that through us as the body of Christ. I think that's very true. Anyone else have any thoughts? I think one verse I want to look at to get your thoughts on is in John 15. John 15, verse 14 says, Jesus speaking, he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So, do you have any thoughts on that? How do we apply that? You could say that clearly sinners, they don't do what Jesus commands of them. And then here he says that you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Do you have any thoughts? Wayne?
Well, he didn't say that I will be your friend if you do what I command you. He said, you will be my friends if you do what I command you.
Thank you. That's an interesting thought. Mike?
And I just noticed that the verse before says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." So maybe maybe friendship can be one-sided, and Jesus is everyone's friend, and then until we finally connect with him, then we're mutual friends.
Yeah, thank you. I think there's some truth to that. Anyone else? I think when I was reading this, I wasn't sure exactly how I would have interpreted that verse before there, verse 13. He says in verse 12, I think it'll start in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Is he saying there, that verse 13, is he making reference to himself, that he'll lay down his life for his friends, or is that more of a general encouragement to them? The same way that verse 12 is, that he's saying that you love one another, then he's telling them that you should love each other to the point that you're willing to lay down your life for them. Or is it both? I don't know. That's kind of thought about that. Do you have any thoughts? I think this discussion is kind of enforcing kind of the conclusion that I started to come to as I was studying this. I think that there's a lot of truth to the fact that Jesus could, he is a friend to sinners, but it's not a friendship in the sense that they, it's two-sided. It's not that they, it's not a friendship with people that are on the way to destruction in the same way that he is a friend to Christians. I think there's a fairly large difference there. You don't have any thoughts? Derek?
I guess the thing that's impressed on my mind in John is that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and when we have very close friends, we confide in them and we share, basically, we don't really hold anything back, or we shouldn't. But in this immense situation here, Jesus is saying in verse 15, "But I have called you friends." And then he says, "For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And I find that amazing, that Jesus, everything that his Father told him or gave, "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." He didn't hold anything back from it. And these were very precious friends to him. And we can be like that too. And it seems like Jesus has something on his mind here, because Judas in verse 22 says, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's intense friendship. That's amazing. What, there's something, I think, more than just passing friendship, or almost like there's a relationship here that is running so deep. And I guess that's, I think there that speaks to me in more volumes than Jesus being a friend to sinners. He's actually living in them, and he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." How many people, when they die, send a spirit that comes and comforts? There was something precious about the Lord Jesus and his friendship. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that. Anyone else?
I feel there's a bit of a difference too with friendship and family. While we were yet sinners, we were basically a friend. Christ was a friend to us. But once we were took his gift of salvation, we were then adopted to part of his family. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, I feel, has a different relationship, friendship, with those that haven't accepted him as one of his children. But once we're a child of God, now we're part of the family. So that's kind of like a totally different dimension. Like, I've got close friends that are very close to me, but I wouldn't say they're as close to me as, say, my brother is. And so I think the whole friend of sinners part is a little different than a brother or something like that.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? One verse I want to look at that I would, I'm not totally sure how I could interpret this or if it even applies, but I have read others use it to prove that Jesus was not a friend of sinners is in James chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So that sounds pretty intense in that way. Does anyone have any thoughts on that verse? Or does it even imply in the same way that a friend of the world is the same thing as a friend of sinners?
I think that Jesus was a different type of friend, I guess. Sinners, I mean, if I go out on a Friday night and just hang out with the guys, they're drinking, smoking, etc. And I'm a friend of them, but I'm not loving them, right? I think Jesus, he didn't take part in that, and he didn't talk about the things that they did the next day to his fellow believers. But he just loved them and taught them the gospel, I guess.
Thank you. Anyone else? But I've heard people teach that they basically would take this doctrine, which I believe is a tertiary doctrine, they'd turn into something far more serious. They would say that if you're teaching that Jesus was a friend of sinners, according to this verse, you're teaching that Jesus was the enemy of God, and they would make it a much more important doctrine, I think it is. And I don't think you can necessarily apply it in the same way. Anyone have any thoughts? Go ahead.
I was just thinking of the simple phrase that we've heard often, love the sinner but hate the sin. And I think that sort of applies here. In this verse in James, Jesus is talking about, as was mentioned, not partaking in the sins, but we see examples everywhere where Jesus still loved the individual.
Thank you. I think this verse here, I think the friendship with the world is different than a friend of a sinner in the sense that kind of we are concluding that Jesus was. I think here it's talking about being a friend of the world, being kind of one with the world, doing the same things as the world, that there's no difference between you and the world. I think that's far different than being... than loving sinners or reaching out to them. That's far different than what is being described here. I think here is saying someone that is a friend of the world, that is kind of like what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter, talking about that they're running with the world, they're doing the same things. Someone like that, they are the enemy of God. I think that you have to be very clear that you can't be a friend of the world while also being a friend of God. Go ahead.
Is there a difference between saying that God is a friend to sinners and God and sinners are friends?
And I think
I'm thinking of a verse in Romans 5 where it says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son." So at least on our part, when we were sinners, we were enemies of God. Now maybe that wasn't both ways. Maybe God was still a friend to us. But the truest definition of a friend would be a mutual relationship.
Yeah.
So maybe at least in that sense, you know, as we try to define what a friend is, it wasn't a mutual friendship, but God's heart of love towards us was still a heart of reconciliation, but we were enemies of God, it seems to indicate in this scripture on our part.
I think someone else mentioned, I don't remember who mentioned it, but there was mentioning a verse where... God desires all to come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. And I think in that way that God desires that we would repent. He desires a relationship with us. He desires that relationship with sinners. But that relationship is not there until they would repent. So in that sense that he is a friend in the sense that he would be desiring to have that friendship. But there isn't that mutual friendship until you repent, until you accept the salvation of Christ. So... anyone else have any thoughts? I think that's basically all the notes that I have. Basically, I think the way I could conclude, I think we basically, I think we came to a pretty good conclusion on this topic that I don't think Jesus was a friend of sinners in the sense that the sinners are friends with each other, but he was a friend of sinners, that he loved sinners, and that he desired that relationship. And I don't know, does anyone have any thoughts? Anyone disagree with that or have any thoughts on that? If not, I think that's all I have. So thanks for your participation.